So again, it has a lot to do with the secret place. This will be my third book that I'm writing, and I'm doing some of the research and all that. I do need help though, and I want you guys, if you would, if you know anybody who's really good at like videos and YouTube and all that stuff, if you can just kind of like let me know. So I want to go to this Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. Okay, sorry, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your form is lovely." And so we're going to start here. We're going to go. Obviously, there's a bunch of places we're going to go in this, so just kind of bear with me. I want to talk about this for a second because he says it. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. The next time we come, I'll probably go out of the Passion Translation as well. But he said, "Oh, my dove." So first of all, he's calling you his dove. It's a term of endearment. It's a term where the bridegroom will come and call her my dove, my lover, sweet. And actually, the Holy Spirit is a symbol of the dove because of its because it's tender, it's sweet, it's a form of peace. But here he's talking to his love, and I'm sure God has a term of endearment for you, my beloved, my loved one, my dearly loved, all of this. Oh my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form and let me hear your voice. God has you in the secret place, and you got to go to the secret place. He wants to see your form. I posted this as well this morning, that I believe that God wants to be and wants our presence as much as we desire his presence, even more so. He just wants to be in our presence. I know what it's like to be in God's presence. It's amazing, and I want to have more of it. But God is taking us deeper into this realm of, or this place of deep intimacy, and that's where he wants us, and that's what the secret place brings. He says, "Let me see your form. Let me hear your voice." What couple, what married couple wouldn't want to see each other's form, wouldn't want to hear each other's voice, see their faces? He says, "Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your form is lovely." And we'll get more into that in the near future. But, it's just like God wants to see our form. God wants us to be in his presence. God wants us to be loved, and he wants to pour out his passion, pour out his love on us. So in Psalm 27, verse 5, he just says, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that's what I'm going to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." And then in verse 5, "For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on the rock." In here, recognize that there is a place that God wants you. He conceals you there. It's like your hiding place. It's your place of covering. It's your place. Literally, when I'm in that place, I have like n there's like no pressure. I don't feel stressed. I just feel his presence. And that's what God wants us to go after. He wants us to go after his presence. Okay? Now in Psalm 31, verse 20, there's a lot of verses to this, and I'm just uncovering it now, over the last few, but I kind of feel like God really wants my third book to be about this subject, based upon all of the people that have asked me, "Hey, Tom, where is the secret place? What is the secret place? Can you tell me?" And it's one of those mystical phrases that we use that has a lot of people, it becomes a Christianese statement, but we don't really know what it is. We don't know where it is. We don't know what to do when we're there. Okay? So he says in verse 20 of chapter 30, Psalm 31, "You hide me in the secret place of your presence, from the conspiracies of men. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. So he says he's hiding us in this secret place. Do you know, the secret place is different than he says in Psalm 23. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. What he's doing is he's almost antagonizing the devil, showing him how good God is, okay? Showing the enemy how good God is by bringing you to this table of abundance where the enemy can only watch. You're out of reach of the enemy. But this place is a hiding place. It's a secret place that even the enemy can't come into because it's your chamber. It's your place. I'm going to share, at some point, I'm going to share my testimony of a vision that I had years ago. Now, I don't know if I actually went to heaven. Based upon what other people have said about their journeys to heaven, I would kind of say that I probably did, but I don't know. But it was like a 3D vision. It was like I was in this place. In the natural, I was in my hot tub, but in the spiritual, in the third heaven, I was taken there, and I had some things. And basically, in that vision, and I'll share it at some point. I was looking for the chamber of the king. I was looking for the chamber of Jesus. Where is Jesus? Where is the place where Jesus takes us to be intimate with him? It's not in the living room. It's not in the dining room. It's not in the kitchen. Where he keeps us is in his secret place, in his chamber. And I'll get into it at some point. But he says here, you hide them in the secret place of your presence. And I talked about this morning, briefly as we started about he wants to be in our presence or he wants us to be in his presence. He wants to have our presence as much as we want to have his presence. So I'm going to be reading this Isaiah, in the Passion Translation. Okay. He says in Isaiah 31, in the Passion Translation, verse 4 and 5, at the end of verse 4, he says, So will Yahweh, the commander of the angel armies, come down to fight for you on Mount Zion and on Zion's holy hill. And then he says, just as the bird hovers over its nest to protect its young, so will Yahweh, commander of the angel army, shield Jerusalem. He will protect her and deliver her, spare her, and rescue her. Now, we read that in Matthew 23, and I want to go back there. This is the cry of Jesus. So here we have Isaiah 31. Actually, let me read this Isaiah passage in the New American Standard. Isaiah 31, verses 4 and 5, he says, for thus says the Lord to me, as a lion or as a young lion growls over its prey, against the band of its shepherd call out, he will not be terrified at their voice or disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts come down to wage war on Mount Zion and on its hill. Like flying birds, so the Lord of hosts will protect Jerusalem. He will protect it and deliver it. He will pass over and rescue it. And then in Matthew 23, excuse me. Sorry, Matthew 23, verse 37. He says, remember we're talking about he's covering over them like a bird hovers over its young. This is what he says. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. So I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is his like cry, his passion for Jerusalem. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way the hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And what does she do under her wings? You go back to Isaiah 31. Just love it. Go back to Isaiah 31, and this is what he does. He shields Jerusalem. He protects her. He delivers her, he spares her, and he rescues her. Okay, I remember I saw this one time of a chicken. I think it was a hen, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was pouring rain, and she had her wings extended over her chicks, and protecting them from the storm, protecting them from those hailstones and the raindrops. It was crazy. It was so good. So, you know, that's what happens when we are under his wings. Let's go to Isaiah 28, verse 17. Just a few pages back, Isaiah 28, 17. Isaiah 28, 17 says, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies and waters will overflow the secret place. Now, in this, the waters overflowing the secret place, the symbols of the Holy Spirit, one of them is the rivers of water, the waters that come through. Deep cries out to deep, the sound of many waters. He talks about the water coming, Ezekiel 37 talks about the water, 37 or 47. He talks about the water from the temple that goes all the way down and you're in it and it's too deep for you to be able to swim in. And these waters come in and they just, he says the waters overflow the secret place. So what happens is he brings this in the secret place. He brings the plumb line. A plumb line was used to make sure that, everything was level. So, you know, that's what the plumb line was for. And so he made it level. He made it perpendicular. He made it upright and he made it level. There was no tilting. It's not like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And he says that the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies and the waters will overflow the secret place. The waters will overflow the secret place. Out of the Passion Translation, maybe I should keep the books open. What do you think? out of the Passion Translation, he says, my hailstorm will sweep away your refuge of lies and my floodwaters will overwhelm your hiding place. The Holy Spirit will overflow in the secret place. You want to be in your secret place so that the Holy Spirit can overflow in there. Okay? Now, let's go one more verse. 45, chapter 45, verse 3. He says, I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. I love this. I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. Wow, that was a really good verse. I wonder what it says in the Passion. Let's go 44, verse 3. It says, I will pour refreshing water on the thirsty, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your children, my blessing upon your descendants. Wow, that's really cool. That's 44, but that was the wrong verse. That was a good verse. 45, verse 3. It says, I will give you hidden treasures of darkness and wealth waiting in secret sites so that you recognize me, for it is I, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Now, God knows you by name, and he takes you in this secret place. Okay? He wants you to see that there are treasuries in the darkness. Remember, we'll go there actually in Psalm 139. We'll go there in a few. In Psalm 139, he talks about, where can I go from your presence? If I go to Sheol, you're there. If I go here, you're there. If I'm on the West Coast, you're on the West, you're on the West Coast. If I try to hide in the depths of the ocean, you're there. God is in the dark places. God is in your wilderness. You just have to see and find out where he is. Where are you, God, in this? Where are you, God, right now? Okay. Actually, let's go to Psalm 139 now. Wow. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. And then he says, you have formed me. And then he goes, how precious are your thoughts? And he goes, there's just no way. My frame, in verse 15, is not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Okay? And then he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. God is taking us into a place, into this secret place. Now, we're going to start discussing, we're going to go more into being under his wings as well. But I want to, this is all building it up. We're going to look at the life of Adam. We're going to look at the life of Abraham, Moses, Joshua. We're going to look at David. We're going to look at all of these people who had a secret place. And like I said, it looks different for everybody. My secret place is not your secret place. Jesus told us in Matthew 6 to go into our closet, whatever that closet looks like. Is the closet in the middle of a forest under a tree? Is it at some park, at a picnic table by yourself? Where is your secret place? You know, you may be dancing in your secret place. It doesn't matter what you're doing in your secret place. It's amazing. I mean, if you can dance in the presence of God, go for it. I dance like a, I dance like I walked through a spider web. So I try not to do that. Especially if people can notice. But, it's one of these things. Sometimes I just have to. Sometimes I have to let it out and I do it privately or whatever. And I don't do things that, my secret place does not have distractions in it. I don't have my weights in there. I don't build weights mainly to tone. But, I mean, it's like I don't have them in there. Because it gets distracting. Stay away from the distractions. Keep your TV off. You know, have soaking music playing in the background. That's fine. But just get with him. See his face. My prayer is always, the first thing that I pray when I wake up in the morning is, good morning, Holy Spirit. That's the last thing I say before I go to bed is, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And I wake up and then I have soaking music that goes on. And I have that as I'm reading the word and as I'm listening to the word, I'll have this music going on in the background because it's peace. It's just his presence that I long for. And my request, my first request is, Lord, let me see your face. And then once I see his face, I ask him, what's on your heart? And that's what it looks like in my secret place. It looks different for you. I can't tell you to do it like I do it. I want to do it like Jesus did it. I just wish there was like a description, like I wish that John the Apostle went up, was snuck around watching Jesus pray so he can write down how he did it. Although we do have that model of what it looks like. So we'll talk about all these people. We'll even talk about Jesus' secret place. We'll talk about Paul's secret place, and the Apostle John. What did his secret place look like? Jacob, his secret place, put his head on a rock. That's pretty funny. He put his head on the rock and that was his secret place. Abraham. Adam and Eve, they came to God in the cool of the day. So we'll talk more about that in the future. But I just wanted to come with you guys. And you know my heart. I hope you know my heart that I so love his presence. And the only way that you can get his presence is to be in the secret place. Psychology is good for, you know, I wrote a self-help book. So, you know, what can you do? But psychology is good to diagnose your issue, but there are very few psychologists that want to take you out of your issue and keep you, make you whole. Okay. The pharmacy, and this is going to get political. I better not. So keep your heart focused on him. Where is your secret place? Find it. It's that place of peace. It's that place where the, as they say in the Celtic tradition, that where the air is thin, that the presence of God comes down. There are different spots at my church that I go to specifically because I know that's where the portal of, that I've seen the portal of heaven, that I've seen the angels of God hanging around there. I've seen the Holy Spirit flying around there. You need to find your place. Could be in different spots. It doesn't have to be in the same spot every day. Anyway, I've talked too much. I just love you guys, and we'll see you again tomorrow. God is amazing. He's doing amazing things in and through your life. So just be excited about what he's doing, because he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Amen. God bless you guys. You have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.